Blog Talk Radio.
Belongs to you, oh God. Yeah. All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, oh God. Yeah. All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, oh God.
back to another episode of Cool Alheem, Daughters of Dishta Oz. I'm your host, Malka, coming to you from Baltimore, Maryland. Thanking you for joining us today. Thank you to my Ish for calling in. And today we're just going to have a word of encouragement, not just a word of encouragement. Encouragement is what we need at times. Sometimes we just need to be loved up on by the word. Sometimes we just need to be reminded of the goodness of our Heavenly Father, even when time seems hopeless. As believers, we sometimes think because we're believers and we have the Most High in our lives that we shouldn't have to go through certain things. But we do have to go through certain things because the Father is in the process of making us into His image and into His likeness. And if we know about making something coarse and precious, we think about childbirth. Those of us who have had children or been witness to children being born, we know that it is pressure. It takes force to have that baby leave the body. We have to push. That the baby comes out, the head comes out slightly deformed because of the pressure of forcing its way through the vaginal canal. So right there from the beginning of our lives, we're supposed to know that the thing that we're entering in is going to be a difficult thing, which is life. But it's all for a purpose, because the Father is the one, He said in Jeremiah, that He knits us in the womb. He knitted Jeremiah in the womb when He was talking to him, but of course all of us are born from the womb. He knits us in the womb. He creates us. And we sometimes forget the pressures and the difficulties and the testing of life that Yah is the maker. He is potter, and we are the clay. Our teacher, Monday evening, used the same analogy of the potter and the clay, how as you're working that piece of clay, as the wheel is turning and your hand is pressing and bending so you can create the thing that you have in your mind, whether it's a vase or a bowl or a cup, the Father's doing the same thing. He has an image in His mind that He is trying to make. And so that means as He lovingly rolls His hand around us, and sometimes moves His fingers in and presses, He's doing it because He knows at the end that He's looking for an object that He can display, an object that He can fill up. Scripture says that we are made in His image and in His likeness. We have to trust the Father. And that's what we're talking about today, trusting the Most High. And our opening scripture is going to be Proverbs, Mishlei, chapter 3. And we're going to start at verse 5. And the scripture says, "Trust in Yahweh with all your heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Verse 6, in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path." Hallelujah. Scripture says, there's a way that seems right to a man, but at the end, it's folly. We have to know that we have a Father that wants, and we have to trust Him. That's exactly what He wants. I was having a conversation this week with an older gentleman, and he was very discouraged and sounded really hopeless. And that's the word the Father gave me to encourage him. You know, as a parent, we sometimes limit the things our children can do because we know if they do something, what the potential consequence can be. So we say no when they ask us for something, or we see them go in a direction, we say no, or we move them away from that. And when our kids might, if it, depending on their age, they might throw a tantrum, or they might cry, or they might stomp away, or, you know, be upset with you. At that time, what you want as a parent, child, to trust you, to know that I love you enough to protect you, and I know what I'm talking about. Just trust me. This is the same relationship the Father wants us to have with him. He wants us to believe that no matter what it is that we're going through, and no matter what turn our life might take, that he is in control. And if we do what the words say, Yahweh, with all your heart, and don't, and lean not unto thy own understanding. When you think about lean, the picture the Father's putting in my mind is you're standing on a painted line, and one side is trusting the Most High, and the other side is trusting yourself. So don't lean towards trusting yourself. Why would you trust someone that doesn't have experience in life? And sometimes that's what we do when we trust ourselves more than trusting the Most High. Why would you trust someone that has a limited point of view? The Father sees past, present, and future. And again, he has the image in his mind of what he's trying to create in us. And he uses life to do that. Think about not trusting, having difficulties in trusting the Most High. And we have to be honest with ourselves. And we have to ask ourselves, why am I struggling with trusting Yah? Why am I struggling with just letting go and just knowing that whatever's going to happen is going to be for my good? One of the things the Father gave me when I asked that question was fear. Fear because we are afraid of the circumstances or the situation if we have to go contrary to what we expect. Give you an illustration. You want a certain job, and you know that this job has a lot of great benefits, and it fits your life, and it's exactly what you want. And you know that if you don't get this job, that means you have to stay in the mediocre job that you have now. But you want this job so much that the thought of not getting it fills you with fear because you know you don't want to stay at the other job. You know if you stay at the other job, it's not a good provider for your family. It doesn't give you good benefits. It's just a dead-end job. Or let's say you don't even have a job. You're afraid that if you don't get this job, that things in your life is going to become disorganized or chaotic. And what we don't want is chaos. We don't want difficulties. But we have to start looking at life differently. Difficulties is a part of life. It is what makes us. It is what gives us character. It is what makes us strong. You know, back in slavery days, you know, or not in slavery days, just back in ancient days, women who were people who were affluent, they made sure that they didn't do hard work because they didn't want their hands to become calloused. They didn't stay out in the sun because if you were out in the sun, that means you tan, and that was indicative that you had an outside job. You were a farmer or a slave or whatever the case may be. So you stayed in the house so you wouldn't be tanned, and you didn't do anything that would gnaw your hand because you wanted to have this appearance of having an easy life. But the person who's working hard, they have the strength, physical strength. They have the mental fortitude. They have wisdom because they've learned to continue through adversity. Friedrich Nietzsche says, whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And we look at difficulties like it's a curse or a punishment. Difficulties is what's going to make us stronger. Difficulties also aid us in trusting the Most High. When Brother Shaul was going through something and he prayed to the Most High three times to have this thorn removed out of his flesh, Yahushua said to him, my grace is sufficient for you. And Paul, according to Scripture, Shaul never prayed about that situation again. He trusted that whatever the Father was allowed to happen in his life, the grace that was being bestowed upon him would be sufficient for him. And that's the end of the issue. As far as we know with Shaul, we know he traveled with a doctor sometime, Luke traveled with him, but he didn't continue to make it an issue. He accepted it because he trusted the Most High. In trusting the Most High, we have to know that it comes with action. Two stories the Father put in my mind as far as seeing trusting the Most High. And before I go to these two stories, the word trust in Scripture is the word batak, and it is number 982. And it means, it can mean to hide for refuge. So you can think about a running under its mother to be protected under the wings of its mother because there's danger. Now, Arabic and Hebrew and Aramaic, they're all sister language. They're Shemitic languages. And interestingly enough, when you look at the same word in Arabic, it means the thought is to throw oneself or one's care on someone. So literally, I'm going to just put whatever burden I'm carrying, and I'm going to just put it all off of me and someone else. Yahushua said that in his word, he said, come to me, all those that labor, and I will give you rest. In other words, he's saying, throw your cares on me. Trust me that I'm going to carry this for you. I'm going to carry you through this. But way too often, we go to the Father in prayer, and we pray about something that we lay at his feet, and before we sit, and as soon as we say amen or hallelujah, we pick it back up, put it back in our pocket, put it across our shoulder, and walk away with it. And then we wonder why situations are not being worked out because we have not truly given something to Yah and just walked away from it. Another definition of trust according to Hebrew is to be secure, to fear nothing. Psalm 23, though I walk in the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. See, that is a perfect definition of trust. See, as we were putting this word together, this message together this morning, I asked the Father, what's the difference between faith and trust? When you look at the word faith in Hebrew, it is the word emunah. Emunah. We see that Aleph, that Mem, and that Nun. So that means, you know, continuing in strong waters, you know, staying firm. And then we look at the word trust, Batak. it begins with the neck. Right there, to tell I see, take the Aleph from the Munah, put the Bet, and we have Av, we have Father. This is what the Father wants us to do. He wants us to have faith in Him and trust. But when we think about faith, the first time this word is used in Scripture is with the father of faith, Abraham, in Genesis, Bereshit, chapter 22, where it is, in Hebrew, it's called the Akedah, the binding of Yitzhak. In Genesis 15, where it says that Abraham believed in Yahweh and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Abraham walked away from everything he knew to follow a voice, Kul Alahim. He walked away because he heard Kul Alahim, the voices of powers. He saw nothing. And he took his family and left all that he saw and knew and followed something he had not even seen. He's a father of faith. But then here comes trust. What is trust? Believing in spite of what you see. So let's put this together as we talk about Abraham and the Akedah in Bereshit chapter 22. Abraham believed, he had faith in what Yah told him. Yah told him you were going to have a son, and your son was going to be the father of many nations. He said your seed was going to be like the sand of the sea, like the stars in the heavens. But then here comes Yahweh Elohim, saying to him, sacrifice him. Abraham, in his thinking, says in his heart, I know what you told me. And in spite of what I'm about to do, I know that you can, if it be your will, resurrect my son so you can fulfill the word you gave to me. Abraham trusted Yah in spite of what he saw, in spite of what he was asked to do. He trusted Yah. This is the difference between faith and trust. Faith in Scripture says, just to paraphrase in Hebrews chapter 11, faith is having hope in things unseen. That's Abraham. He saw nothing when he left. Trusting the Most High is believing Him in spite of what you see. I don't know how you're going to work this out, but I know in your word you said, and then you bring the word back to the Most High's mind. Not just for him, but for yourself. That we remind ourselves that we serve a mighty one that loves us and is working out his will in our lives. Every situation that we go through is a learning one. And everything that happens to us is for our perfection. Take a look at Romans 5, read verses 1 through 6, where it talks about how patience, affliction leads to patience, leads to hope, and so on and so forth. That's Romans 5, 1 to 6. Refer to that. I read something this week where, I think it was in one of my devotionals, where it says, the person said, I've always been dealt with by angels. He said, even in difficult, challenging situations, even when, quote-unquote, bad things happen. See, the point of view of this person was, even if someone comes to rob me and beat me up and hurt me, that is a melakim, that is an angel, that is someone who's being used by the Most High's will and desire to perfect something in me. Maybe it's forgiveness. Maybe it's retribution for something I did in my past. Maybe it's for my correction. Maybe it's a test to see, am I going to still show love? But that person, that Melakim that was sent and allowed to test me by the Most High was not a bad or an evil Melakim. It was sent to do Yah's will. And when I thought about it like that, it literally blew my mind. Said, how can we say, how can we be upset? How can we be bitter and angry when we look at every situation through the eyes of Yah perfecting us? But we can only do that if we trust Him. Sister Miriam, the mother of Moshe, Scripture says in Exodus chapter 2 that she couldn't hide Moshe any longer. And she made this basket, covered it with pitch so it would be waterproof. And then she put this baby on the water and pushed that basket into the Sea of Reeds. And she trusted. See, when the scripture says that the parents of Moshe saw that he was a goodly child, it's not talking about him being a handsome baby. It's not, oh, he's just too cute to die. They saw something in Moshe. They knew that this was not just a regular baby. He was the savior of Yisrael. So they trusted that Yah was going to save his life, despite of what they saw. Yah was going to save his life. When we look at the word trust in the ancient Hebrew lexicon, the word is to cling. Holding on to something or someone by clinging or confiding. Again, no matter what you're going through, are we still clinging to the Most High? Are we trusting Him? Do we believe that He is going to deliver us, that He is going to lead us? When we read that scripture in Proverbs 3, it said that we should acknowledge Him in all our ways. And before we do anything, before we make a decision, we go to the Father and we ask Him to lead and guide us. And we ask Him to block it if it's not His will. We gotta grow up in our prayers. We can't just be praying, give me what I want. Tell Him, ask Him, if this is not what you want for me, Father, don't give it to me. I don't want it. Ask Him to change our hearts that we want for us what He wants for us. He's the potter. All too often we tell the Father what we want. We don't have to be afraid. We're in good hands. The Father loves us. See, there's a contrast in Proverbs 3:5 and 6. The contrast is trusting in Yah and trusting in yourself. But I'll tell you this, if we trust in ourselves, you're calling for the Father to judge. Scripture says, and my husband and I were talking about this last night, yesterday, when the scripture says that the Father is jealous. And He has a right to be jealous because He knows there's no one else but Him. He knows that He is the only power. He said, I don't know no other power. He has a right to be jealous because He's a good Father to us. But when we look at this word, trust, the first time we see this word in Torah, it's Deuteronomy 28:52. I'm going to read that real quick because what we don't want to do is have the Father judge us for not trusting Him, but trusting in ourselves. Another place in Scripture it says, trust not into the arm of the flesh. Another place it says, trust not in the princes. In other words, don't trust in man. Deuteronomy 28:52 says, and he shall besiege you in all your gates until your high and fenced walls come down, wherein you trusted throughout all your land, and he shall receive you in all your gates throughout all your land, which Yahweh, your Elohim, has given you. You see, the judgment is coming down on the gates and these high fence walls because Yisrael were depending and trusting in it for safety and protection. That's where they messed up. So if we're trusting in other people, and if you're trusting in yourself, and you're not trusting in the Most High, he is going to, the thing that you're trusting in, that we are trusting in outside of Yah, the Father is going to bring it down. So in the last few minutes that we have, I'm going to read through some scriptures, remind us, and encourage us, and hopefully uplift our hearts in trusting the Most High. We're going to go to Tehillim, that's Psalms chapter 71, and we're going to read verses 1 through 5. And I'm grateful always for Yah, you know, all knowledge, all wisdom, and all understanding comes from the Most High. And he knows what we need. He knows what we need. And sometimes all we need is a gentle reminder that he loves us and that we can trust him. Verse 1. In you, O Yahweh, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. You hear that? When we begin to think on our own, this is where this confusion comes in. When we begin to stop trusting Yah, this is where confusion comes in. Just trust him. Verse 2, deliver me in your righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. You have given commandment to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O Elohim, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel men. For you are my hope, O Adonai Yahweh. You are my trust from my youth. Hallelujah. Let's go to Tehillim, Psalms chapter 91, verses 1 through 4. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I say of Yahweh, he is my refuge and my fortress, my Elohim, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings shall you trust. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. Hallelujah. This is what we serve, it's the Abba. Psalms 115, verses 9 to 11. O Yisrael, trust in Yahweh. He is your help and your shield. O house of Aaron, trust in Yahweh. He is your help and your shield. You that fear Yahweh, trust in Yahweh. He is your help and your shield. Hallelujah. Psalms 118, verse 8 and 9. It is better to trust in Yahweh than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in Yahweh than to put confidence in princes. Hallelujah. Psalms 125, verse 1. They that trust in Yahweh shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abide forever. Hallelujah. I'm going to read that again. They that trust in Yahweh shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abide forever. Hallelujah. Last scripture, Psalms 146, verse 3. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. Hallelujah. I pray that this word of encouragement reaches you where you need it, and that you take this word of encouragement and let it be your fuel to pull you through whatever trials or testing that you're walking through. Scripture says, be anxious about nothing, but in all things, with thanksgiving, bring your supplication to Yah. Bring it to the Father and leave it there. But then we're supposed to expect something. See, Scripture talks about Yah being our expectancy. Know, like you know, like you know, like you know, that His perfect will is going to be done for you. Trust Him. Wait on Him. He is reliable. He has never not showed up when we needed Him. Even in the darkest times of our history as a people, the Father was always there. The Scripture says that He disrupted nations for us. He loves us. And He loves us even more because we trusted in His word and accepted Yahushua as our Messiah and our Savior. Until next time, Yisrael, may the peace of our healing rest on each one of us today. And may we walk in faith and in trust that our Mighty One hears us and is working out His divine will and purpose in each one of our lives. Until we meet again, shalom.